Well, welcome back to another episode of Bee Boomer Unleashed. I'm your host, Jerry Lake, the Unleashed Baby Boomer. This is episode 3, and we're going to continue our discussion today on school bullies. But this time, we're going to perhaps offer some solutions, some possible solutions that will help or assist in decreasing that problem for you parents and grandparents who are raising those grandchildren right now. We'd like to share a few comments that we had from the last episode and then continue our discussion on school bullies. But first, just remind you where you can find our podcast. We've expanded our postings a bit. You can, of course, always find us on beboomerunleashed.podbean.com. You can also find us at Facebook at Bee Boomer Unleashed. On Twitter, you can follow us at Bee Boomer Unleash, not Unleashed, but Bee Boomer Unleash 1 on Twitter. And then on iTunes, Spotify, Tumblr, and Instagram, you can find us at Bee Boomer Unleashed, Bee Boomer Unleashed. And our email address, if you'd like to drop us an email, I encourage you to do that, is beboomerunleashed@gmail.com. That's beboomerunleashed@gmail.com. Also, when you click into our podcast on one of those links on a smartphone, it often gives you the opportunity to download the Podbeam app for your iPhone or your Droid device. Don't be afraid to do that. It's free. It improves your small device listening experience. And you can leave comments for me on that mobile device, which is very helpful as we continue with the program. I have some requests I'd like to make to you for still appreciate ideas for future shows, ideas for guests that you might like for me to have on this podcast, suggestions on how to make our show better, because if we don't continue to make it better, you probably won't listen to it anymore. So help us out with that. And I make a request, please, please, if you hear the podcast on any of these platforms, please like it if you have that opportunity, and if you do like it, and share that with your friends. That will help us grow our listening audience. That will help us grow our listening audience, and I would appreciate it if you would do that. Well, for the first couple of episodes, we discussed school bullies and laying out what it looked like in the 50s and 60s, and unfortunately, what it has grown into to today. So today, let's talk about some possible solutions to these problems that we have today with school bullying, and in particular cyberbullying. In the old days, those boomers who are around there, you can remember that you were taught to share, not to hit, say please and thank you, and to play nicely with others. Those are the things that we were taught back in the day, and I think that prevented a lot of what was going on. And of course, we didn't have the plague of the social media that kids have today. Social media, you may or may not agree with this, but it has nearly eliminated human personal interaction. Let that sink in again for just a minute. It has nearly eliminated human personal interaction. People text instead of talking. You don't have to face those that you're talking to when you're texting or posting on Facebook or other social media. You can go to a restaurant today, and I think I've mentioned this before, and you'll see a family of four sitting around the table, and they'll all have their smartphones out, and they're texting or playing games or whatever. When I was a school principal, I would go into the gym in the mornings where the kids sat. The buses came and the kids went into the bleachers and sat there in the bleachers until it was time for breakfast or time to go to class. And I've actually observed kids sitting beside each other, not on the other end of the gymnasium, mind you, but sitting beside each other. And instead of talking, they were texting each other. Kids, by and large, today don't know how to talk to people. Now, there are those rare exceptions, and if you have one of those children or grandchildren who are the rare exception to this rule, you should be most thankful for that, because social skills and communication skills are at an all-time low. Like I said, people text instead of talking. They don't have to face those they're talking to. And then here's a big one. Contrary to popular belief, you don't have to comment on every post on Facebook or Twitter. You don't have to comment on that. Just because somebody puts a post out there, that does not mean that you have to comment on it. And some people, they'll see somebody post some political post there on Facebook or wherever, and they don't agree with it. Well, I'm going to fire back at you, and then they're going to fire back at them, and pretty soon you're in a big fuss on Facebook, and it's just a huge mess. My parents and my grandparents before them, I remember my granny saying this many times, if you don't have something nice to say about someone, just don't say anything at all. Don't find it necessary to bash someone just because you don't have anything nice to say about them. You don't have to say anything. You know, there are a lot of people in this life that I don't particularly care for their actions and their activities, but it doesn't behoove me to belittle that person just because I don't agree with them. I just say nothing at all. I don't have a comment on it. I don't have anything to say about that. But social media has made it so easy for children and adults to bash each other without looking someone in the eye. You would say, you would never dream of saying some of the things that are said to people. Kids would never dream of saying some of the things they say to their classmates in person that they would say on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or some other social media platform. They just wouldn't do it. It's too easy to damage somebody's reputation and character on social media that you would never do face-to-face. Let's talk about a few possible solutions as we get into this discussion. Number one, and I've got to agree with John Rosemond. I hope maybe you tuned into his podcast on the cell phones. I recommended that to you last week, and if you didn't, you should listen to it because he's a whole lot smarter than I am on the subject. He's a great communicator, and he's kind of an expert on kids. But he says, and I agree with him, that no kids need a smartphone. No kid, not one kid, not one single kid from age zero till they're out of high school actually need a smartphone. You say, oh my goodness sakes alive, they've got to have a smartphone. All their friends have smartphones. Well, I hate to beat a dead horse, but you boomers out there, I know if you've heard this once, you've heard it 100 times. If your friends all jumped off the bridge, would you jump with them? That doesn't compute to this younger generation because they're not out walking around to where they could jump off a bridge. They're at home texting and Facebooking and Twittering and all those other things. But they have no need for a smartphone. You know what? Almost everywhere that your child or your grandchild go, there's a telephone. Why does a kid need a smartphone in school? There's plenty of telephones in school. You don't need that. So why do parents and or grandparents feel it a necessity to provide their child or their grandchild with a smartphone? Now, if you're one of those parents who worry about your children at after-school practice or they need to call home for a ride or, you know, any emergency that might come up and you just don't want them to use the school phone, you know what? They still make flip phones. Believe it or not, they still make flip phones. And if they do have a smartphone, do you know you can control grandparents? You know, I didn't know it. Some parents may not know, but do you know that on a smartphone, you can control that smartphone who your child is able to call and communicate with? You have the option of setting controls on that phone. Now, I'm the wrong guy to ask how to do that, but if you go down to your local smartphone store or you go down to your cell phone provider, whoever that might be, they can tell you how to do that. So if they have a smartphone, you know, if you've already made the plunge and gotten them a smartphone, then they need to be monitored. If you're providing your child or your grandchild with a smartphone, they should have no reasonable expectation of privacy from their parents or their grandparents, if the grandparents are indeed the ones raising the children. It's your phone. You paid for it. Not many 13-year-olds have a job where they can buy $300, $400, $500, and now some of these cell phones today are $1,000 or $1,200. Good night. That's a whole lot more than I paid for my first car. So just because they have one doesn't mean that you can't monitor it. So if your child or your grandchild has one of those, you can monitor it. Also, here's another great idea. Cell phones are to be put on a charger outside of the bedroom. When it's time for the family to go to bed, when it's time for your children to go to bed, tell them to put that charger or that cell phone on the charger in the kitchen, not in the bedroom. And if you don't have a bedtime for your teenager or your child, if you don't have a bedtime, you have no control over them. Used to, when I had parents in for conferences, if we were having problems with the children, one of the first questions I would ask them is, what's your child's bedtime? Oh, they just stay up. We can't get them to go to bed. They stay up. I don't know what time they go to bed. I'm asleep before they. No, no, no. They have to have a bedtime, and they don't dictate that. You do. Grandparents, if you're raising that grandchild, I'm sorry if you've got to be the bad guy too, but you've got to give them a bedtime. Give them a bedtime. And no cell phone in that bedroom when they go to bed. They won't have anything to keep them up all night, which reminds me of something else. No computer in the bedroom. They don't need a computer in the bedroom. They don't even need a television set in the bedroom. That way, when you send a child to their room for punishment, it's not an entertainment center. There's no deterrent for a child to go to the bedroom when they've got a computer. They've got a TV with 7,000 channels on it. They've got a laptop or a desktop computer. There's no deterrent. There's no downside to being sent to their room. So clean all that stuff out. No computer in the bedroom. When your child or grandchild is on that computer, you need to monitor their use up close and personal. What do you mean by that? Well, sit there and watch what they're doing. There's a lot of great stuff out there on the internet. Lots of great stuff. I do a lot of research for Bible lessons and a lot of research for staff development that I do, and there's some great stuff out there. But you know what? Just a few clicks away, there's every kind of vile debauchery that you can ever imagine in your mind or my mind. It's out there. And if you're not watching what your kids or your grandkids are doing, you're making a big, big mistake. Monitor their computer use up close and personal. I bet they won't harass somebody on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram if you're sitting there watching them. And I bet they can't do it after everyone else is in bed if their cell phone is on a charger in the kitchen or someplace else that you have control over. Just a thought. Another thing you need to do as parents and grandparents is call your kids out on bad behavior. Do not ignore bad behavior. Don't be afraid to parent your child. This includes grandparents. Grandparents, if you've got the task of raising your grandchild, don't be afraid to parent them. You can't wait until a kid is a teenager to start administering discipline. You just can't do that. It's too late. If a kid's been allowed to run willy-nilly his whole life up until he's a teenager, and there has been no discipline administered, then parents, grandparents, it's too late. You've already lost the battle. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try, but it's a challenge. It's a big job if you wait that long. You have to start disciplining children at an early age. You say, well, Jerry, what early age is that? That's when they first understand the word no. N-O, no. Simple little word, no. And if you allow a toddler to ignore no, then they're not going to pay attention to anything you say as they get older. Do not allow them to get by with ignoring your instructions of no. There has to be a consequence for disobedient behavior. Now, you don't punish a child for childlike behavior. You know, you don't punish a child for being a kid. You don't punish a child for spilling a glass of milk. You don't punish a child for acting silly in church. You don't punish a child for just being a knucklehead. You don't do that because kids are going to do kid-like things, and they're going to do things. They're going to act out on emotions many times because they thought this was a great idea, and they do that because they're impulsive and because it just seemed like a good idea at the time. So you don't punish kids for that. Well, when do I punish kids? You punish a child for willful disobedience. You punish a child for willful disobedience of violating rules that you have already established and that they already understand. You punish them for violating immediate instruction. You punish them for willful disobedience, insubordinate behavior, nasty behavior. You punish them for things like that. You don't punish a kid for being a kid. Kids have to be kids. You were a kid. I was a kid. We did stupid things. You probably didn't. But let me tell you, I've done a boatload of stupid things when I was a kid. And if I'd have got punished for every one of those stupid things that I did, I would have knots all over my bald head. So you don't punish a kid for being a kid. You punish a child for willful disobedience. And you have to start early. Once they understand no, once they understand the word no, you need to start. You need to start. Here's a novel idea, a way to maybe prevent school bullying. Go to church with them. Ooh, did he really say that? Yeah, go to church with them. Don't simply take them and drop them off to the youth meeting or to the Awana Club or to Good News Club or whatever it might be. Don't just take them and drop them off to activities. Go with them. Go as a family. Kids, by and large today, a lot of them, and there are exceptions, and if you have one of those, congratulations, but kids today don't have much of a moral compass, and you've got to help them get that moral compass, and a good place to go is church. I'm not telling you what church to go to. You know, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Roman Catholic, go to the synagogue or the temple, you know, but they have to have spirit. A man is a spiritual being. Children are spiritual beings, and they need spiritual training. So go to church with them. Here's another one. Be active in your child's school. Well, how do I do that? Volunteer. I was a school principal for years and years, and some of the best kids we had in school, their parents volunteered. They were there a lot volunteering. A child is not apt to act out with their parents standing there watching them. So volunteer, go to school. You say, well, what can I do? Just go and volunteer. Go volunteer to help with bus duty or lunch duty or teachers prepare bulletin boards or whatever it might be that needs to be done there at school. There's always a place for volunteers. And if your kid's school is not volunteer friendly, find another school for your kid. because it's important that parents and grandparents have the opportunity to volunteer in their child's school, be a volunteer there. Here's another one that people don't like to get involved in. Find out who your kids' friends are. Find out who their friends are. Snoop a bit, if you will. Ask questions. It's not against the law to ask your child questions. Many times we've had missing children at school. The parents didn't know where their children were. They didn't come to school, and they say, well, we don't know where they are. They went to spend the night with their friend. Well, what's their friend's name? Well, I'm not sure. Or they might say Joey, and we'll say, Joey who? Well, I'm not sure what their last name is. Seriously? Seriously? You're going to let your child spend the night when you don't even know the kid's last name, much less know anything about the parents. You need to find out who your kid's friends are, snoop and find out who their parents are. That's really important to find out who their parents are. Don't take for granted that their parents are nice people. Their parents might be running a meth house. Their parents might be criminals. Their parents might be child molesters. Their parents might be convicted felons. My, don't ever let your child or your grandchild go to someone's house and you don't know who the kid is or know who the parent is. When my kids got old enough to start going to a friend's house, and to be quite honest with you, I really don't promote sleepovers, you know, unless it's a big group thing with the church or something like that. But when my children got old enough to start going to friends' houses, I called the parents if I didn't know who they were, and I found out who those parents were, and I had a little talk with them and played 20 questions. Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Do you have alcohol in your house? Do you have this in your house? Are there any drug users in your home? You say, well, that's kind of embarrassing. No. Ask. How are you going to know? How are you going to know if you don't ask? That's very important. The world we live in today, folks, is a dangerous, dangerous world for kids and for adults alike. And you need to outline the expectations you have of your children and grandchildren and hold them to it. You need to do that. You need to be parents. You need to hold your kids accountable for bad behavior. Do you know kid bullies grow up to be adult bullies? Have you ever had to deal with a bully at work? There are bullies at work. You know why there are bullies at work as adults? Because there were bullies as a kid, and their parents or grandparents never called them into question about that, never made them take responsibility for their own actions. They just didn't do it. So guess what? They grew up to be adult bullies, and then they've got lifelong problems, and then you end up having to deal with them. Well, I'll tell you, folks, we could talk for weeks about bullies, but I've offered you just a few common sense suggestions that you might take advantage of. You might use just one or two of those in raising your child or your grandchild. Grandparents, if you're raising a grandchild, it's tough. It's tough. And as I said in the last episode, it's not fair for you to have to do that. You raised your kids. It's not fair for you to have to raise the grandkids. But there are many, many other things you could do. Hopefully, you'll just start talking to your kids. Lock that social media away. When they're at home, when they're going to bed, make sure they have a bedtime. Make sure you know who their friends are. Hold them accountable for their bad behavior. Wow. It's a tough, tough world that we live in. It's a mean, mean world that we live in. And we read about kids every single day in the newspaper who are taken advantage of by adults or other children. we read about children murdering children. We read about children who commit suicide because they've been bullied at school and primarily on social media. And it's just sad. It's just really sad. Well, listen, for the time being, I think we're going to put this discussion on bullying to the sideline. Next week, we might talk a little bit about youth sports. Everybody likes youth sports. We might talk a little bit about that, how it was back in Boomer days, what we did for fun sports-wise in Boomer days, and what's happening today. And we'll try to have a discussion, a frank discussion on that for you next week. But until then, have a great week. Thanks for tuning in, and God bless each and every one of you.